This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. As the sequester continues, the administration pledging more and more money to Egypt, and a special update on Pastor Saeed.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
These cuts will hurt our economy. They'll cost us jobs. And to set it right, both sides need to be willing to compromise.
When we're giving $250 million away to a Muslim Brotherhood-led government instead of the needs we have, John Kerry said, well, Egypt has extreme needs. Hello, I think we have some pretty extreme needs here in the United States of America. As you said, this is our money, this is taxpayer dollars.
We shouldn't be making a series of dumb, arbitrary cuts to things that businesses depend on and workers depend on, like education and research and infrastructure and defense. It's unnecessary, and at a time when too many Americans are still looking for work, it's inexcusable.
It is paramount, essential, urgent that the Egyptian economy get stronger, that it get back on its feet. There has to be a sense of security, and there has to be a sense of economic and political viability.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Would you consider the current Egyptian regime an ally of the United States?
I don't think that we would consider them an ally.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live, folks. The sequester continues. People feeling those cuts, they're feeling it. We heard from a woman yesterday whose husband, salary cut $1,600 a month, works on a military base, has worked there for decades, and now because of the sequester, they're feeling it. I mean, and it didn't have to happen this way. While at the same time, we're writing out, as we've learned, $20 million checks to the Palestinian Authority, led by Mahmoud Abbas, who, by the way, has been a huge barrier to peace and to establishing a real Palestinian state, actually, for many Palestinians because of his refusal to acknowledge Israel as a Jewish state and support for terrorist organizations and terrorist attacks on Israel. That's in addition to $250 million that will soon be on its way to the Muslim Brotherhood-led government in Egypt, which, by the way, in one of the major cities on the Suez Canal, as we were discussing yesterday, the police have quit. They are on strike for the fourth day. The military has to take over. You know why they quit? They said, we're not here as political to protect political parties or become a political apparatus, basically a paramilitary force of the Muslim Brotherhood. So now the Muslim Brotherhood-led military has taken over police duties in that town, basically a martial law setting. Port Said, a major city along the Suez Canal. I mean, Dad, when you look at all of this and you realize when that's happening, you don't give them more money.
Well, not only that, you've got Congressman Frank Wolf that is being reported today is saying that he made a trip to the Middle East. He was in Egypt, and he said there's a clear perception, without a doubt, especially among the Christians in Egypt, that the United States is supporting the Muslim Brotherhood and employing basically a double standard by overlooking abuses, especially those targeting minority Christians. This is from Representative Frank Wolf of Virginia. It's reported in CNS News. He urged the administration to pursue policies emphasizing the need to protect minority rights. But there's a complete collapse going on in Egypt, and we're kind of propping up the bad guys. I mean, that's the reality of what we're dealing with, folks. We want to hear from you on this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Ask yourself, why are we supporting these regimes? And Jordan, that is, to me, the question of the day. Why are we doing this? And why are we allowing the Christian minorities in these countries, especially in Egypt, to be so manhandled in the situation and so discriminated against?
Right. A report that at least 100,000 Coptic Christians have fled Egypt just since Mohamed Morsi became president and the Muslim Brotherhood took control. That does not include the more than 100,000 who left well before, while the revolution was brewing, realizing that this was not a good place to be as the Christian religious minority that was already mistreated under the Mubarak government. So, folks, again, 100,000 Christians fleeing Egypt, which makes up 10 to 15% of that 84 million population leaving because of the Muslim Brotherhood. We need to take a stand. No more funding to the Muslim Brotherhood. America first. We should not have anyone taking a pay cut here and send millions overseas. Call now, 877-989-2255. Sign the petition. You can also do it at aclj.org.
With the budget mess in Washington and the U.S. military being told it will face deep cuts because of the sequester, the Obama administration is planning to send more taxpayer dollars overseas to the terrorist-led government in Egypt, cutting U.S. defense dollars, but sending hundreds of millions of new taxpayer dollars to the hostile Muslim Brotherhood. The Obama administration already has sent high-tech weapons to Egypt. Now Secretary of State Kerry is promising to send another $250 million to that country. He wants to give more aid to radical Islamists who embrace Sharia law, a dictatorship that tramples religious freedom and human rights. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now. Sign on to our petition to sequester the Muslim Brotherhood. Tell the Obama administration no more U.S. funding, period, until Egypt demonstrates through its actions that it is our ally and not our enemy. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We do want to debunk a internet rumor that started probably in no ill will at all, but because of reports that constantly come out of Iran that are not true and internet rumors that spread through social media like Facebook and Twitter and then quickly through the blogs and then even gets to AP reporters asking us directly if the rumor is true and if the news is true. You may have seen these reports about Pastor Youssef Nader Khani. Now, we've made it very clear starting last night, late last night, on Twitter and Facebook that these reports did not seem accurate whatsoever, but we wanted to wait to confirm that he was alive and well in Iran and that was not killed or executed as these reports had indicated. And it seemed like the old rumors, they are the old rumors that we already previously debunked more than a year ago. He is not in prison. He is not in jail. He's not facing any charges right now. He was rearrested, which none of that news mentioned. And so that was a giveaway right there that there was something missing, something amiss. And that's, of course, good news because all Christians in Iran face threats on their life every day just because of their faith. So just one day and one rumor not being true does not mean there's no threat, obviously. We've got the situation with Saeed Abedini, and there are other Christians imprisoned and who face torture and abuse by the Iranian government every day.
And the other thing we need to report is that on the Saeed Abedini matter, a special report aired on Fox News. It's available at aclj.org. You could see it there in its entirety, and it should be up now. If not, it will be up shortly. And it was a very compelling piece on Pastor Saeed, on his wife Nagme, and Jordan's in it, of course. This is something you're going to want to see. Folks, we want to encourage you to join us in a sequestration. We are going to see a sequester of the Muslim Brotherhood funding. And when you look at the facts on the ground in Egypt, including, again, this is based on Congressman Frank Wolf's recent visit to Egypt, where he met with the Coptic Christian and other Christian leaders, and they have said since Morsi has been in power, not one single permit to build a church has been granted. Not one. And why are we giving them $250 million and in addition to the $1.5 billion we're already, quote, authorized to give? The answer to that should be we're not. Go to aclj.org and sign on to that petition. Also, let me encourage you to, you can also call in at 1-877-989-2255. So it's aclj.org or 877 989-2255. Let me also say this. We're in a matching challenge. This happens a couple of times a year, which means any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. So if you donate $10, we get $20. If you donate $100, we get $200. 10 is 20. You understand it. It's great for us. Great for the ACLJ. We encourage you to participate in our matching challenge program. You can do that by going to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Or you can also make your pledge right on the phones at 877-989-2255. But the easy way is aclj.org. Jordan, let's go take a phone call.
Yep, Rachel's calling in Idaho on line one. Rachel, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Question. I want to know why it's so important for the United States to prop up Egypt's economy when we need the money here. So what would happen if we didn't prop them up and they were to collapse?
We'd probably get a better government in place in Egypt, one that is really democratically elected and one that we could probably do business with. But that's not the way it is right now. And the president, you know, Secretary of State made the statement. I mean, he was very clear with this. He said, look, you know, when elections happens, we don't get to decide who the people are going to be. That's just part of it. They've had an election. Listen to number 10.
They've had an election. They've had a constitutional process. There's another election that is coming up shortly for the lower house. The fact that sometimes other countries elect somebody that you don't completely agree with doesn't give us permission to walk away from their election.
Can I ask a question here? What do we agree with Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood-led government, Jordan? What do we agree with him on a policy matter?
I can't think of anything.
Right.
I mean, this is someone who supports Sharia law, wants to disempower women, and, of course, threatens the peace with Israel. Basically supports the violation of basic human rights like religious freedom, freedom of speech, has got his police force quitting. Imagine that happening in the United States. Imagine a police force going on strike because they feel like they are being turned into a paramilitary force for a political party here. That alone is enough to say nothing in common. I don't care what you say. If there are police officers willing to take that stand, imagine how bad the military is. Imagine how bad the new leadership is inside the military. They handpicked those who had served in the military a long time in Egypt who were on their side. The Muslim Brotherhood sympathizers within the military, we know they were there. That's who's leading them now. And the police willing to quit because they don't want to become the protector of the Muslim Brotherhood and the enforcers for the Muslim Brotherhood.
And that would, you think, be enough to say, you know what, we're not going to do this. So, folks, again, we want to, and Jordan's going to give you the number now, engage this issue, folks. Sign on to these petitions. Many, many have done so already. Well over 50,000 signatures to this petition, which is actually, we have crossed 75,000 signatures in, 3 days. Folks, this is pretty unbelievable. So a lot of people are responding at aclj.org, or again, Jordan, give everybody the number. They can call in as well or go to the website.
Yeah, folks, you can call right now. It's 877-989-2255. Again, 877-989-2255. 2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign this petition online. To make matters even more important for everyone to speak out today, let's choose America first. No one on a military base should be receiving a pay cut if we can send checks, $250 million checks to the Muslim Brotherhood and $20 million checks to the Palestinian Authority. No, that doesn't cover the entire sequester, but we shouldn't be spending money anywhere else around the world, helping anyone else around the world, if we're having to cut people who, again, are being furloughed and losing income because of a sequester that the White House designed.
Yeah.
They put no hold on this foreign aid funding to those who you could question whether or not they're even, not even allies, but just even if they're friendly anymore to the U.S.
Well, K.T. McFarland was on Fox News, Neil Cavito's program, just the other day, and she made a great statement. Let me play it. It's number 5.
Foreign aid is not some gift we give people. We want something in exchange for it. Are we getting anything from Egypt? We got a Muslim Brotherhood president who is taking dictatorial powers for himself, not having democratic, widespread democracy, not guaranteeing the rights of minorities and Christian groups, making nice to our adversary, the Iranians, and talking about a very different Middle East. I mean, even talking about we're going to reconsider that peace agreement that we have with Israel.
That should be enough right there to say, no, we're not going to do this. We're not giving the money. We're not going to cut things in the United States in order to give the Muslim Brotherhood money. Folks, again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's go right back to the phones.
Yep, Gregory in Texas, line 6. Gregory, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Gregory.
Hi, God bless you guys.
Thanks.
Just a two-part question.
Sure.
One is, has this happened under any other former president where he feels that he's obligated to honor a existing contract like the fighter jets and now the $250 million?
Well, let me answer that one first. We had an agreement with Mubarak when he was the president, and we had peace in the region, and Israel and Egypt were working very closely with each other. So this was an ongoing situation. But we then have had a change of parties, and it's now an Islamist regime in there. I mean, look what's happening in the news today. You've got the son-in-law of Bin Laden captured, and we're going to indict him in, you know, the New York District Court for the Northern the Central District of New York, or the Northern District of New York, actually. And what are we going to do? We're going to actually have a trial a mile away from ground zero. I mean, this is what this administration is doing. We've had a change of relationship in Egypt, but they continue to fund it. So, Gregory, there have been existing agreements with Egypt, but it was under a completely different area. And, by the way, Bin Laden's son, where was he being protected? By the good old Iranian regime. Go ahead with your second part of the question, Gregory.
Okay, so this hasn't happened under any other
form. Not like this, no.
Like this. And here's my second part. Is it due to just the liberal mentality of the current presidency, or could it be that it's just a
Well, let me let Jordan answer that one, because he's up there in Washington following this really closely. I mean, I go ahead. I've got a position, but I want to hear Jordan's first.
One of it is that our government is too slow. That it takes years to get these budgets spent. So you make deals with people and you agree to foreign aid. And then by the time the money's gone out, you can have a regime change and a totally new government in place that has not pledged, not just because of a democratic process, but they haven't. There was a revolution. They didn't pledge to uphold the same agreements and do the same things for these resources. So our government isn't up to speed. We should not have to agree to this kind of funding so that the government then 2 years later can send it out without any oversight from Congress, especially when there's a fundamental change. That is a huge problem, Gregory. It's not it's not helping people out, helping governments out who are implementing our interests. That's different, but it shouldn't be so far behind so that you get stuck in a situation where the Obama administration controls these kind of funds without congressional oversight. Call now, folks. America First, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. There shouldn't be a dime going to the Muslim Brotherhood or to the Palestinian Authority if any American employees at a military base have to get a pay cut because of the sequester. Call 877-989-2255 or go to ACLJ.org. You can sign this petition online, but I'd encourage you to take action. 877-989-2255.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this, because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. With the budget mess in Washington and the U.S. military being told it will face deep cuts because of the sequester, the Obama administration is planning to send more taxpayer dollars overseas to the terrorist-led government in Egypt, cutting U.S. defense dollars, but sending hundreds of millions of new taxpayer dollars to the hostile Muslim Brotherhood. The Obama administration already has sent high-tech weapons to Egypt. Now Secretary of State Kerry is promising to send another $250 million to that country. He wants to give more aid to radical Islamists who embrace Sharia law, a dictatorship that tramples religious freedom and human rights. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now. Sign on to our petition to sequester the Muslim Brotherhood. Tell the Obama administration no more U.S. funding, period, until Egypt demonstrates through its actions that it is our ally and not our enemy. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're taking your phone calls. Also, let me encourage you to go to aclj.org. We've got a matching challenge going on, which means any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching grant for. So we encourage you to do that at aclj.org. And again, sign on to that petition at 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Let me do this. We've got a very special, there was a very special Fox News report this morning on Fox and Friends on the situation with Pastor Saeed Abedini. We encourage you to go to aclj.org to listen to the whole thing, but I want to give you an update on the pastor's case. There was a question asked yesterday at the State Department briefing. Victoria Nuland, the State Department spokesperson, actually responded. Take a listen, number one.
Is there any latest on State Department efforts to get Saeed Abedini, the American pastor who's in prison in Iran, released?
Well, as you know, we remain concerned about Mr. Abedini. We raise this at regular intervals. We also remain deeply concerned that the Iranians have not yet granted access to him by our Swiss protecting power. We continue to believe he should be released immediately.
So, Jordan, that was Victoria Nuland, the State Department. And when they talk about the Swiss protecting power, what are they really getting at there?
Yeah, well, that's our representatives in Iran. So we don't have an embassy, obviously, since 1979 when our embassy was overrun. We have no official diplomatic ties with Iran, though we are starting to sit down at a table with them and have for about the last 2 years over the nuclear situation. We don't formally communicate without going through other governments. So we don't have a one-on-one relationship with Iran and haven't for decades. So the Swiss oversee our interest. If he was being treated as an American, like the hikers were, they would be able to send in medical overseers to check on his health and at least give updates on his status. That doesn't mean anything would be that much better, but at least they'd have that. Because they consider him to be an Iranian, they are rejecting and have rejected every request. So that's been rejected long ago. And again, I think that underscores that the State Department doesn't seem so concerned if you really listen to that statement.
And let me also play, this was Todd Starnes did this great piece on Fox News. I'm going to play some of it for you right now. This is number two. This is questions asked directly from the reporter to Nagme Abedini. Take a listen.
I want you to tell me about the telephone call you received from President Obama.
I have not received a phone call from President Obama.
Tell me about the telephone call you received from the Secretary of State.
I have not received any telephone calls from the Secretary of State, unfortunately.
The president's done nothing. The president hasn't said the word, Saeed. He has not said Saeed Abedini. He has not called for his release. He has not publicly spoken out.
You know, there's another point here that I think is significant, and that is, Will Haynes just shared this with me. If you really read the statements, they say we believe he should be released when they should be demanding his release. You know, we should believe, we remain concerned. I mean, the language they use is so tepid for Pastor Saeed Abedini, and that's why we're at the UN fighting for his release because of your support. Again, I encourage you to check out SaveSaeed.org. That's SaveSaeed.org, the website dedicated to his case. Let's go right back to the phones. Let's grab another call here, Jordan.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. People have been hanging on. Let's go to Neil calling in from Michigan on line three. Neil, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Neil.
Thank you, sir. How are you today?
Good.
Hello?
You're good. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. You're sitting there telling me that maybe 0.5% of my paycheck and every other citizen in the United States, like 0.5% of my paycheck being taxed, is going overseas to fund Egypt, which is Muslim-ruled?
Muslim Brotherhood-led ruled. It's Islamist regime. Yes, I am telling you that that money is going over there to the tune of about $2 billion. I can't tell you what percentage of your paycheck it is, But that is the plan. Now, we are working aggressively to stop that, despite the president and his Secretary of State saying, here's another $250 million over and above that. Understand that. Over and above that is what he's talking about, Jordan.
That's right. I mean, we're talking $250 million now. They want to do another $250 million later. They've asked for $1 billion from Congress to be released right now immediately as emergency funds, new funding to Egypt, all with the realization that we can't even call them our allies, the Muslim Brotherhood. They aren't necessarily protecting the U.S. interest in the Middle East and certainly in Egypt or the Suez Canal. Think about, again, I think it underscores what happened today. The police have quit now for the fourth day in a row. They are on full strike to the point where the military is going into some major cities along the Suez Canal. Probably one of our top interests there is keeping the Suez Canal open so that we're able to use it and the Western world can use it as the important trade route that it is. This is the major city, Port Said, and folks, the military is now in charge. You know why the police are striking? Not because they're not getting paid, not because they're not being getting good enough benefits. It's not a labor issue. It's because they say we're not comfortable being turned into, which we are being asked to do, being the paramilitary force, the enforcers for the Muslim Brotherhood and the protectors for the Muslim Brotherhood, a political party linked to terrorism. And so the police in Egypt, those are Muslim police officers who are not comfortable taking that stand.
And then you got to ask yourself again, why in the world are we funding these people? What is the point of funding the Muslim Brotherhood? Why are we funding Islamist jihadists? I mean, it goes kind of to the question of why are we, bringing to New York, the federal courts in New York, the son-in-law of Osama bin Laden? And why aren't we keeping him in Guantanamo Bay? I mean, what's the point of this? But this is an administration that hasn't yet figured out its way, and we're part of the experiment. Unfortunately, it's costing you and me and the American people money, including tax dollars. So again, folks, we want to fight back on this. How about sequestering the funds to the Muslim Brotherhood? ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Who's next?
Susan in Colorado, on line one. Susan, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hi, Susan.
Thank you for taking my phone call. I have a couple quick comments, and then I'll hopefully you can respond to them. One, we have a son who's in the Air Force, and this just seems ridiculous, sending money over to a Muslim Brotherhood who, who knows that they got tied to radical jihad.
Right.
You know, they don't treat women right. They, they're not democratic, far from it. And then on top of this, it just seems ridiculous because I'm also hearing something come out of Washington that they nominated a lady for some award that made anti-American comments.
Anti-American comments, anti-Islamic comments, anti-Israel comments, basically 9/11 comments. Yes, she was going to get an award. We could do a whole program on that. Yeah.
Celebrated Benghazi.
Yeah.
Said it was a sweet day.
So, yes, disgusting. And that was going to be a State Department award. First, she denied it, by the way. She said that was someone hacked her account. And then when they took the award away, she said, no, they didn't hack my account. I believe everything I said, and I'll say it again. So, yeah, this tells you, really good clearance there at our State Department, I'll tell you. Hey, folks, we got a lot more coming up. Remember, we're here for another half hour. If you don't get us on SiriusXM, listen to us on ACLJ.org. We'll be streaming the program live there as well. And, again, let me encourage you to do a couple of things. Visit SaveSaeed.org. We're at 420,739, so we're getting close to 421,000. We've got another hearing on March 11th at the UN. I'd sure like to be closer to 450,000, so if you could help us out there, if you haven't signed this petition, go to SaveSaeed.org. You can sign it up at ACLJ.org as well. Also, this is important, sign on to this petition to stop money going to the Muslim Brotherhood. You could do that easy. You just go to ACLJ.org, sign that petition, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Remember, we're in a matching challenge. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. So I encourage you to do that at ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
With the budget mess in Washington and the U.S. military being told it will face deep cuts because of the sequester, stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now. Sign on to our petition to sequester the Muslim Brotherhood. Tell the Obama administration no more U.S. funding, period, until Egypt demonstrates through its actions that it is our ally and not our enemy. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. This morning on Fox News, a very special piece put together by Todd Starnes and his production team at Fox News. Sit down one-on-one with Nagmé Abedini. I was also there, and it was a great piece. If you missed, I want to make sure you heard the audio. We also have the video available online at aclj.org, so you can share it with your friends and family. A special interview, an inside look. You definitely want to see the video as well. It's got the kids there as well, his six-year-old daughter, four-year-old son. Let's take a listen.
It has been 9 months since the young children of the American pastor held in Iran have seen their father, and the impact on the family is heartbreaking. Fox News Radio's Todd Starnes is here with me now with more on this story. You talked to his wife, right?
That's right. Nagmé Abedini, and she and her husband have two children, Rebecca and Jacob. We had a chance to hear her story down in Nashville, and here's what she told us.
American pastor Saeed Abedini is a prisoner of Iran, sentenced to 8 years in one of the country's most notorious prisons, all because of his Christian faith.
He's been there 5 months, beaten, tortured, suffering internal bleedings, suffering some medical issues, and I would expect our government to take every action to want him released now.
In 2009, three American hikers were captured by the Iranians. Both President Obama and the Secretary of State called for their immediate release. But in the Abedini case, the White House has been unusually quiet.
I want you to tell me about the telephone call you received from President Obama.
I have not received a phone call from President Obama.
Tell me about the telephone call you received from the Secretary of State.
I have not received any telephone calls from the Secretary of State, unfortunately.
The President's done nothing. The President hasn't said the word, Saeed. He has not said Saeed Abedini. He has not called for his release. He has not publicly spoken out.
The American Center for Law and Justice has been mobilizing international support for the family.
I believe the government's been silent on this case with Pastor Saeed Abedini. The reason why the actual executive branch leaders have not spoken out. We haven't heard it from John Kerry. We haven't heard it from the president because he converted from Islam to Christianity. And this is not just someone's human rights being violated. It's an American who has their human rights being violated.
Neither the State Department nor the White House responded to calls from Fox News, and the only public acknowledgement came in December when the administration said they were aware of the case and called for his release. Meanwhile, Nagmé struggles to adjust to life as a single parent.
I feel like I can deal with my emotions in some sense as an adult and try to understand and to some extent of what's happening. But the kids don't understand it, and it's seeing them cry at night. And my daughter has cried out, "Daddy, where are you? Daddy, why aren't you coming? Daddy, I miss you."
The most difficult time is bedtime, when her husband would sing songs to Rebecca and Jacob.
One way, Jesus.
They still ask me to sing the songs he used to sing to them. And for them, it's comforting. But for me, it's heartbreaking. It's remembering him.
And while Pastor Saeed languishes in prison, Nagmé and her children hold on to hope and faith with a song still deep in their hearts.
Hope of a life spent with you.
Now, State Department spokeswoman Victoria Nuland was asked about Abedini yesterday during a briefing. This is her response.
We remain concerned about Mr. Abedini. We raise this at regular intervals. We continue to believe he should be released immediately.
And so what's the latest on the case?
Well, right now, as of today, Mrs. Abedini has yet to receive a telephone call from the president. And all she wants to know is that her government is doing something to get her husband out of that Iranian prison.
Mm-hmm. Many people will ask, what was he doing over in Iran? What was his mission when he went there?
Sure. Well, he is originally from Iran, has family there, and had received permission from the government to create an orphanage. And while he was in there doing business related to that, the Revolutionary Guard raided their home and took him into custody. It's been almost a year since that happened.
All right. Heartbreaking to see his two kids and his wife waiting for him to come home. Todd, thanks for bringing us that.
Thanks, Gretchen.
For more info, check out SaveSaeed.org. And you can also, of course, share that video online from ACLJ.org of that Fox News interview. You got to watch if you didn't see it. Coming up, Congressman Mike Pompeo and Michael Sweet, the lead singer of Stryper, on their new album. You don't want to miss it.
With the budget mess in Washington and the U.S. military being told it will face deep cuts because of the sequester, the Obama administration is planning to send more taxpayer dollars overseas to the terrorist-led government in Egypt, cutting U.S. defense dollars, but sending hundreds of millions of new taxpayer dollars to the hostile Muslim Brotherhood. The Obama administration already has sent high-tech weapons to Egypt. Now Secretary of State Kerry is promising to send another $250 million to that country. He wants to give more aid to radical Islamists who embrace Sharia law, a dictatorship that tramples religious freedom and human rights. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now. Sign on to our petition to sequester the Muslim Brotherhood. Tell the Obama administration no more U.S. funding, period, until Egypt demonstrates through its actions that it is our ally and not our enemy. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Thad Bennett, the ACLJ's Director of Government Affairs. And folks, over the last few days with the sequester hitting and then more truth coming out about some of the scare tactics that were used by the White House, and of course some of the politicking we know was going on internally with some of the emails that have been revealed between coordinators out in the field and supervisors saying, make sure whatever you do to minimize the impact of these sequestered funds, that it doesn't, you know, conflict with the language that's come out of the White House, basically the rhetoric that's come out of the White House. And a lot of the blame game, trying to blame conservatives and Republicans for the sequester and for the furloughs. And you know, obviously, this was written by the White House, and it was targeted primarily at the defense community and our nation's military, though there are other programs, divisions being cut. But people are feeling in their paycheck. It didn't have to be that way. But here is a comment. This is and I'm bringing Than Bennett, the ACLJ's Director of Government Affairs, because Than, we're going to be joined by Congressman Mike Pompeo in just a moment. But we wanted to have him on because we heard out of Nancy Pelosi, and it kind of just takes the rhetoric to another level.
It's gotten really personal, Jordan. I mean, you're talking about $85 billion of cuts over 1 year, and when we're running $1.5 trillion deficit, so not big cuts. Congressman Mike Pompeo, a military hero, frankly, a West Point graduate, has got a law degree from Harvard Law, strong military background. He called it a home run on policy, and he got immediately hit back by the White House. Jay Carney came out, made a strong statement, attacking him as making a political statement. But let's take a listen. This is Nancy Pelosi talking about Congressman Pompeo's remark.
Democrats, we want solutions. Republicans want sequestration. Some of them have even called it a home run. That doesn't sound like anybody's on Team America. if they think sequestration, indiscriminate, mindless cuts across the board are a home run.
You know, those West Point graduates who attended Harvard Law and then decided to serve their country again in Congress, their constituents. Congressman Mike Pompeo from Kansas, the 4th Congressional District, who Nancy Pelosi was referring to with the home run mark, is joining us now, a great friend of the broadcast. And Congressman, thanks for being with us.
It's wonderful to be with you today. It's great to be on your radio station and actually being part of Team America.
Let me ask you, Congressman, right off the bat, to respond just to, in your own words, some of the attacks that have been levied against you, whether it's Jay Carney, the White House press secretary, or Nancy Pelosi, and why you use the word home run, just so everyone out there knows, because you don't want to just hear the clips and then not let that be no response from you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the opportunity to respond. Frankly, it just demonstrates how desperate they are for more money and for higher taxes. Look, I made the comment. I said it was a home run, and I actually said it would have been a grand slam had we been able to reduce the size of the federal government even more and it got under their skin. I would be the first to acknowledge that the sequester is imperfect. There's lots of things that I would have done differently, including the national security items that are in there. But I've been in Congress now for 26 months. I came here to shrink the size and the scope of the federal government. And this is the first time we've been able to even just take a little bit of a nick at it, and it's nothing more than that. And so when you hear the president's White House spokesman call out a junior member of Congress, you recognize that they know, too. They know that the net impact on most of the non-security items in the federal government is going to be nothing. And their efforts this past week that span the scope from closing the White House to visitors to announcing they're going to close 7 of the 9 air traffic control towers in Kansas are a bluster, a charade, and an attempt to bully and stampede the American public.
And Congressman, you and your conservative colleagues have supported the cuts. We know that when you make cuts, it can hurt, that we have to get our country back on track. But the White House specifically, when they put this together, to try to back conservatives into a corner along this process, they specifically targeted, as you just mentioned, the defense industry. They focused right there on not just the industry, the men and women who serve in our armed forces and a lot of the civilian staff. They were targeted specifically early on by the White House, not Congress, and specifically not conservative members of Congress.
There is no doubt this White House loves bigger government, loves more taxes, but wants to do nothing to make sure that our nation remains safe. That is to say, they would just as soon see any reduction in the size of government fall squarely on the backs of our national security apparatus. And that's unfortunate because, frankly, if you read the Constitution with any carefulness whatsoever, you'll recognize that the first and primary task that we have is to keep everyone safe. City councils can't do that. State governments can't do that. Most everything else we do in Washington these days, they could do. But this national security task falls squarely to the federal government. And this president has now targeted them in a way that is inappropriate and presents real risk.
Congressman Than Bennett here. Appreciate you being on the broadcast with us. Appreciate you being a strong voice on these issues. I couldn't agree with you more on the defense side of these cuts. Let me ask you just a little bit about the fact that sequestration maybe isn't the best way to cut. We've heard it from folks on the left. I agree with it. You just said you agree with it. You know, the problem from my perspective is that these were the only cuts. This was the only mechanism for cutting that the president was even willing to consider when we were going through that deficit reduction package. So the only conclusion that I can come to is that the president isn't interested in any spending cuts. Do you agree with that? Does the president just simply reject the notion in general that we have a spending problem in this country?
Yes, and I don't mean to be too short. I think that you hit the nail on the head. Every time we've tried to do something that would make sense, indeed that many Democrats believe would make sense, fixing our entitlement programs, getting rid of silly programs. I've been trying to get rid of the Economic Development Administration, an agency you've never heard of, yet which spends $400+ million a year. We're rejected. It's because they view it as the camel nose under the tent. And so I've not seen this president lift a finger, not one finger, to reduce federal spending. And you hear Speaker or former Speaker Pelosi say, well, we don't have a spending problem. You hear it, right? It's in the culture. It's in their DNA.
Right.
And so this sequester was the president's idea. It was forced upon us. I voted for it. I when I remember voting for it very well in August 2011, thinking, I wish we could have reduced spending more. But knowing full well it wasn't perfect and it would impact some things that I care deeply about. And yet, when I think about the various trade-offs, I felt like it was a worthy piece of legislation, and now one that we need to implement and execute vigorously.
Yeah, and just to follow up quickly on that, Congressman, I know Jordan's got some more here for you, too, but can you remind folks, there have been efforts made by the House to actually increase some flexibility to target fraud and abuse, and the president has not been willing to go in and renegotiate this sequester. It's very clear that he is trying to make this as painful as possible. Can you just take 30 seconds or so and remind folks what the House has done to try to retarget these cuts away from defense and towards where we really should be cutting?
I sure can. There are three concrete efforts. We twice in the previous Congress reallocated this spending cut. We didn't just talk about it. We didn't just put it in bullet points on a piece of paper. We passed legislation that was delivered to the doorstep of the Senate that would have rearranged these spending reductions in a way that protected our national security accounts. And in each case, the president threatened to veto it and the Senate refused to take it up. And then we just this week, I passed a piece of legislation that will be aimed at that as well as part of the continuing resolution. I hope this time the Senate will take it, and I hope the president will sign it. It doesn't solve all the national security problems, but it takes some of the most onerous restrictions, provides more guidance and a greater range of flexibility for our Department of Defense and our national security apparatus to address these spending reductions.
Hey, Congressman Pompeo, this is Jordan Sekulow again. Final question for you. We know we have to make these cuts, but we also, I think, are seeing this week, really. I mean, we've seen just the last 48 hours, I think, come to a complete head. And this is that the public's view, which means including those on the left and Democrats, people responding to and part of these polls, are turning on the White House. They're turning on the president. His rhetoric was so nasty that he's having, please forgive me, lunches and dinners with some of the conservatives, some Republicans on Capitol Hill, because I think he realized you go this far in this constant campaign mode and demonize everyone, then things won't get done. And the truth was every reporter, especially there's not a reelection coming, is a lot tougher on this White House. They didn't let them get away with what they may have, I'll say in my opinion, what they may have before an election. Because he's not up again. And you've seen the facts come out. The fact checkers are pretty accurate now. That all of the blame that he tried to place directly on people like you in Congress, having his White House press secretary, Nancy Pelosi, the Democrat leader in the House, all come out, that the American people are wising up to the rhetoric here and realizing the truth. And have you seen a change? Have you noticed that change?
I definitely have. We hear it in the calls that come to our office. I see it with folks that I meet with who come to visit here. And when I was back in Kansas last week, I was at a Wichita State Shocker basketball game and had someone come up and say, "Hey, Pompeo, just keep voting no." I think they're starting to get it. I think for the first time in this president's now 4 years plus in office, the American people are starting to hear the facts. And I appreciate that because when they come to see it, they're going to recognize that this is a president who just literally wants to get in their pocket every day and has done so much to deny the least amongst us opportunities to find work and to take care of their families. We've had a very, very difficult 4 years. I hope that this trend will continue where the president will have to be accountable for the things and the decisions that he makes. That didn't happen in his first 4 years, one iota.
Congressman Mike Pompeo, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, gentlemen. You all have a good day.
It's great to have Congressman Mike Pompeo coming up next. Michael Sweet of Striper.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on. A lot of great things happening. And a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family then at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. With the budget mess in Washington and the U.S. military being told it will face deep cuts because of the sequester, the Obama administration is planning to send more taxpayer dollars overseas to the terrorist-led government in Egypt, cutting U.S. defense dollars, but sending hundreds of millions of new taxpayer dollars to the hostile Muslim Brotherhood. The Obama administration already has sent high-tech weapons to Egypt. Now Secretary of State Kerry is promising to send another $250 million to that country. He wants to give more aid to radical Islamists who embrace Sharia law, a dictatorship that tramples religious freedom and human rights. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now. Sign on to our petition to sequester the Muslim Brotherhood. Tell the Obama administration no more U.S. funding, period, until Egypt demonstrates through its actions that it is our ally and not our enemy. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
You know, folks, we talk a lot about law, politics, news here on the broadcast, but, you know, it's all about transformational issues, people speaking up, and also new movements that happened. One of those was Christian music, Christian rock specifically, which if you think now about all the different Christian bands, and basically if you're a Christian, you want to find music, good music that you relate to, that you enjoy, you can find it. That wasn't always the case, but it was people like Michael Sweet and Stryper who stepped out. They faced criticism, but they show they've got the talent, obviously, and they could be just as successful or more successful than others because they were sending a message that was clear to the listeners and a lot of support, people that were wanting to hear it. And nearly 30 years later, you got Michael Sweet and Stryper with a new album coming out, and he's joining us now. And Michael, it's great to have you on the broadcast.
Hey, how are you, man? You must be talking about Rez Band or Petra.
Well, I mean, I got to say, though, Stryper sent a different message to people. I mean, I remember I was in punk bands when I was in, you know, my teens, and we were playing at Christian music venues that were set up a lot of because you were in very much the mainstream world. I mean, wouldn't you say that, Michael? I mean, that was you're on your tours and you're reaching out to metal fans, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think there's multiple reasons for that. We grew up in that scene before we rededicated our lives to God. And so we grew up on the streets of Hollywood playing all the clubs on Sunset and just doing that whole thing. And we came out of that. So we weren't raised in the church, so to speak. And then because we grew up in that environment, you know, we didn't want to continue down the path in terms of the lifestyle. But we certainly did want to continue down the same path in terms of the music and the presentation. So, you know, that's where our roots lie, and we continued doing that. And we knew that, you know, we would probably have opposition along the way, and we certainly have and still do. But we didn't want to, you know, sweep under the carpet, so to speak, our way of presenting ourselves and our music and our art. So we've been doing it, man, for 30 years and got a lot of people out there that have been touched and affected and encouraged by it. So it's really cool.
Yeah, and you talk about, I mean, the opposition. I want to talk about it for a second. Well, the new album is coming out March 26th. It's called Second Coming. A single has been released. That's available on iTunes called Bleeding From Inside Out. And it's you can get all the information at Stryper.com. But Mike, the opposition came from both Christians and those in the metal community in the music industry as well. I mean, it's kind of having to face a lot of different opposition, but at the same time, the sales and the people going to the concerts, the people showing up, people buying the albums, then that kind of got you through. The support was there from the listeners and from the fans.
Absolutely, we've always had a tremendous amount of support, but on that flip side of that coin, we've always had a tremendous amount of opposition as well. And it has been from both sides. I don't know why. I mean, I do know why, but I don't understand why we get such opposition. I mean, like, for example, our agent, who is a mainstream agent, he books, you know, a number of bands, Queensryche and Vince Neil and
you know, a whole slew of other bands. And he comes to us all the time and says, man, I really have a tough time booking you guys. Because a lot of times people just come right out and say, oh, Striper, you have a Christian band? No, I'm not interested. Just because of the word Christian. And that's always amazed me, because if you put us on a stage next to any other band that he books, we're going to hold our own, you know, and people are going to see it. People who might go see Queensryche or Cinderella or whoever we would perform with, they would, you know, being the fans of those bands, they might watch Striper perform and walk away saying, gosh, I never knew.
Yeah, and Michael, that's how it's the impact you can have on people who... and how have the other bands, I mean, I want to say, like, the other bands you just, like, some of them that I've just mentioned, how have they been over the 30-year run? Were they questionable at first and more supportive when they realized it was legit and you guys were for real? I mean, you sang with Boston for a few years. You've been doing that before, while this album, I think, was being recorded now, with the second coming album that comes out March 26 from Striper. But everyone in the music industry obviously knows that you can perform. You have the voice, you've got the talent, and so does the band. And you've had that from the beginning. Did it change over time, their kind of relationship with inside, you know, the band-to-band relationship?
I think, you know, there's always, throughout time, you always question yourself. You question, you know, other people and what they're thinking of you or not thinking of you. And that's just human nature. But, I mean, I've tried not to let that stuff go to my head or get inside my head. And I certainly try not to judge other people or what they may or may not be thinking or feeling or believing. And, you know, I've met many bands throughout the years. We toured with White Lion back in the day. We toured with TNT, Loudness. Queensryche, I've become really good friends with the singer, Todd. He's the new singer for the band, and, you know, he's a sweetheart. We had him on stage. He came in, and we did a Maiden song together that we recorded off the covering. And he's a dear friend and just a sweet guy. And we've always tried to let our light shine, man. And that's not by every time you run into some other band pulling out a Bible and saying, okay, we got to talk. It doesn't work that way, you know. And the way we let our light shine is we hang out with them, you know, and not only do we hang out with them, but we love them, you know, we absolutely love them and spend time with them one-on-one time. And some of these guys are our best friends, and we just try to let our light shine the best way that we can and the best way that we know how. And we're still doing it, man. And we're thankful. We're grateful to wake up and say, wow, another day that we're able to express our beliefs and our faith through what we love the most, which is music. It's amazing.
And tell us about this album specific. Tell us about Second Coming. What are people going to find? And in the single that was released on iTunes as well.
Well, it's an album that consists of 14 old classic songs. We originally wanted to do this record, not to release it to the public, but just to record it for ourselves. So we would own the masters for a lot of those old songs that are being pitched to film and TV. Okay. And our company that's pitching those songs has had a little trouble here and there trying to work and pitch the old masters, which are not owned by us. So there's a middleman that they need to go through and we need to go through and get approval from. And that doesn't always work out. So this was an easy way to make that work. We go re-record the songs. We own the masters. You come right to us. You get approval. Boom. Done. So that's why we did it. And then as we started recording the song, we started realizing, wow, this is really sounding great. Why not make it available to our fans? They'd probably get a kick out of hearing this. And we also had the opportunity while we were recording to fix a lot of things that we didn't like about the originals, like no bass in the mix on the first two records, or very little bass. Things being too saturated in effects, delays and reverbs. We made it more in-your-face now. Guitars are real in-your-face. It's more of a raw kind of mix and sound. And it's really a great representation, more than any other Striper record, of how we sound live. This record, pretty much, when you listen to this record and you come see us live, that's what you're going to get.
Absolutely, folks. Michael Sweet, Striper.com, March 26th. The new album drops, and you should check it out, folks. If you're a fan of the songs, The original Striper songs re-recorded with the new as new technology, as Michael said, and there's a new single on iTunes as well, so take a listen there. Folks, we also want you to go to SaveSaeed.org today, share it with your friends and family, and that Fox News piece as well, which is available at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you next time.
With the budget mess in Washington and the U.S. military being told it will face deep cuts because of the sequester, stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now. Sign on to our petition to sequester the Muslim Brotherhood. Tell the Obama administration no more U.S. funding, period, until Egypt demonstrates through its actions that it is our ally and not our enemy. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.